I won't keep you long at all if it means introducing the message, because we must close early. How many wants us to close early? Amen. We'll close early in the name of Jesus. But we want the Lord to, we have praised Him, we have also prayed. We have done thanksgiving, but it is just normal that we allow Him speak to us. Is that correct? Amen. So let's bow our heads. Father, we give you thanks for the service as it has progressed so far. And we are praying, oh God, that as we enter the next phase of hearing you speak to us, release your grace, release your anointing, release your mercy, release your power, and speak to us, to correct us, and to position us to be ready for the rapture in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for in Jesus' name we have prayed. While you're still standing, let's turn to the Bible, Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16. We're reading the first four verses from verse 1. The Pharisees also, with the Sadducees, came and tempting, desired him that he would show them a sign from heaven. He answered and said unto them, when it is evening, ye say, it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning, it will be foul weather today, for the sky is red and lowering. O ye hypocrites, ye can discern the face of the sky, but can ye not discern the signs of the times? A wicked and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall no sign be given unto it, but the sign of the prophet Jonah. Can you have your seats? Praise the Lord. A wicked and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and Jesus told his hearers, there shall no sign be given unto it, but the sign of prophet Jonah. Praise the Lord. And before we proceed, we want to welcome our members who are connected to us online, all over the world, America, US, Asia, the Pacific, wherever, Africa. What do we say to them this afternoon? Can you say it again? Shalom, our online members. The Lord bless you. We discover from the scripture we read, the Bible says the Pharisees and the Sadducees, these were Jesus' detractors. They never believed in his ministry. They were always finding an occasion to run him down and run him out of the city. Praise God. They were not sincere, yet they were having the Torah. That's the Old Testament, the Bible. They were the custodians of the law, so to say. A Pharisee will always beat his chest that he is a keeper of the law. And by the letters of the law, you couldn't fault a Pharisee. And the Sadducees. There was only a minor difference between the Pharisees and the Sadducees. One of the faction, I think the Pharisees, they believed in the resurrection of the dead. But the Sadducees didn't believe in the resurrection of the dead. But whatever, both camps opposed Jesus and his ministry. And yet, they were supposed to be carrying the oracles of God of the Old Testament. That's an irony. And you find the same thing today. Carriers of this Bible are the ones that oppose the scriptural truths contained in this Bible. The true revelation of this Bible. Amen. And today they have gone to seminaries and theological schools. And they are so well trained and educated. They know how to choose and to place their words. Most of the preachers we have today are great orators. Praise the Lord. Some of them have even no business being on the pulpit. Motivational speakers. And no wonder they won't agree with the revealed word of God. So as the Pharisees and the Sadducees opposed Jesus in his time, so are they still opposing the truth of God's hour today. That is why they will argue with elementary doctrine as water baptism. The Bible calls it elementary. If you read the book of Hebrews chapter 6, it says we should leave the doctrines of baptism, laying of hands and so forth, and move on to what? Perfection. So the doctrine of water baptism in the name of Jesus and the doctrine of the Godhead, of oneness of the Godhead, is a primary doctrine as far as Christendom is concerned. Praise God. But you discover that the denominations of today find it difficult to comprehend. Why? Because they are bereft of the Holy Spirit that wrote this Bible. Intellectual preachers. It's a spirit. So it was in the days of the Pharisees and Sadducees, some 2,000 years ago. Spirits don't die. Praise God. And we see the Pharisees, they have seen the miracles that Jesus was performing. They have heard his teachings, teachings that had no equal in the history of God with humanity. Praise God. At a point, they asked him, tell us by what authority, by what power you do these things you're doing. They know it is the power of God. They know it's the authority of God. But they just want to find something he will say that they will catch him. But Jesus is wiser than that. You know what he told them? You people, you tell me, and I will answer you. The baptism of John, is it of God or is it of man? Is it a man's idea or is it God's idea? Praise God. They went immediately and held a meeting and consulted. But this man don't catch us. So what are we going to say? They discussed. If we tell him it is of God, then he will ask us, why didn't you believe John the Baptist, since the baptism is of God? He said, and then we will fail. And then if we tell him the baptism of John is of man, he said, we will be into more trouble. The people will stone us so, because they know that John the Baptist is of God. You see how insincere these people are. Then they went back to Jesus and said, sir, we have consulted and we want to answer you. Hey, we don't know the baptism of John, whether it is of man or whether it is of God, we don't know. We are not telling the truth. Hypocrites. That's what Jesus called them here. He said hypocrites. Okay, you don't know. Neither will I tell you by what power or by authority I do and preach the things I say. And that ended the argument. The Bible says, answer a fool like what?
A fool.
Somebody shout hallelujah. And you go back to where we read, Jesus called them, ye hypocrites. In verse 3. You can design the face of the sky, but you cannot design the signs of the times. A wicked and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall no sign be given unto it, but the sign of the prophet Jonah. And by the way, we are taking a preaching this afternoon that I entitled, Discerning the Signs of the Time. Discerning the signs of the time. So the Pharisees knew the signs. They knew what the coming of Jesus and the preaching of Jesus connoted, what it meant. But they deliberately decided not to identify with it. That's why Jesus called them hypocrites. And then they could tell early morning by the weather, whether the weather will be good or foul. They could predict the weather and all kinds of things. And he said, physically you can prepare, spiritually you refuse to discern the times. You know what discerning means? Discerning means to understand or to recognize, to detect, to be able to identify. You have had a thing, you have seen a thing, then you'll be able to place it. What this sign means, what this teaching means, what the coming of the Son of Man means, what the baptism of John the Baptist means. Praise God. And we know, and Jesus now told them, that there shall no sign be given them anymore, except what sign? The sign of the prophet Jonah. What's the meaning of the sign of the prophet Jonah? Jonah was in the belly of the fish. How many days? 3 days. And Jonah came out of the belly of the fish and preached to the people of Nineveh involuntarily. He didn't want to go. You know the story. Amen. And when Jonah appeared at Nineveh, he preached, and the people of Nineveh did what? They repented. Of course, Jonah became jealous. Why, God, I know if you brought me here, I will preach, they will repent. And all the, you know, fire and brimstone you said you will use to punish them, you will now withdraw it. That is man for you, carnality. What is your business? You have preached. The people repented. You don't want God to have mercy? That should not be the attitude of a Christian. You should have an attitude of forgiveness. Forgiving one another. Praise the Lord. And don't be more Catholic than the Pope. Do you understand? Don't be more Catholic. Don't be too zealous. More zealous than God himself. If I were God, I would slap that sister's mouth and she won't talk again for the next 12 months. Don't do that. Praise God. You have the Spirit of Christ in us. We are Christians. So what are we saying? The sign of the prophet Jonah. And what was Jesus talking about? Jesus was saying the kind of death and resurrection that will come. The kind of resurrection that will come after his death and burial. Because after 3 days, what happened? He came out of the grave. Praise God. And when he came out of the grave, everywhere, even before he even came out of the grave, when he was crucified, everywhere shook. Even the people that crucified him, some of them begin to beat their chest, said, "This is the Son of God." But I want to tell you, after Jesus came from the grave, there were some doubting Thomases that believed on him. So that was why Jesus was telling the Pharisees about that sign. That when Jonah saw John that came out of the belly of the fish, he preached and the Ninevites repented. He was now telling the Pharisees, I will do the same and I will come out. And if you continue in your unbelief, then your case is concluded. Somebody shout hallelujah. Now, they were blaspheming him when he was physically on earth. And he made a statement, you can do all you want to do against the Son of Man. But a time will come when I will be doing the same thing in the office of the Holy Ghost. If you do the same, you will never be forgiven. That's a sin against the Holy Ghost. And the pastor touched on it about a week ago. That the sin against the Holy Ghost is when you see what God is doing. And you know it is God behind those acts. Out of envy or jealousy, you turn around and say it is of the devil. Like what we're witnessing in this ministry. There are some local champions who call themselves big pastors. And have taken upon themselves to blackmail this ministry. And all they want to say is that this brand assembly is occultic. Why? Because the kind of the grace that they see in this ministry, it marvels them. They can't understand it. And instead of appreciating God and identifying with it, they go the other way to blackmail it. Such sins can never be forgiven, either in this time or time to come. That's the sin against the Holy Ghost. Because they know it. And some members of the following of William Marion Branham ministry, which is the end time message, some preachers and some pastors, they do the same. They know how this ministry started. They know the genesis. But because of envy and jealousy, because Pastor Moses did not come to them to collect a charter on how he will run the ministry. That is all their anger. You didn't call Pastor Moses now. God called him and gave him a ministry. And he's being faithful to that ministry. Apostle Paul said in the book of Galatians that the gospel he preached, he didn't receive it from man, but from who? From the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And then after he received the call, Apostle Paul went on to say, I didn't confer with what? Flesh and blood. I didn't begin to look for any man. He said humbly that even Peter and the rest of the apostles who were apostles before me, I didn't even see them until much, much many years later. He said, but what I did was I had to go into where? The desert of Arabia. To receive induction from the Holy Ghost concerning the ministry. Somebody shout hallelujah. Our amiable pastor received his induction in the prison. His own desert of Arabia was the prison. And he sat there and he read, he chewed, he swallowed, he digested the entire message. Praise the Lord. And so when he came out and was among us for a while as a church member and at best a song leader, he never identified himself as a minister. He has told us all the stories all this while. Praise God. All of a sudden, when God impressed it on him now, the time for the ministry has come, he took off. And then the rest of the ministers who were pastors before him took offense. That's the spirit of the Pharisees. Praise God. Praise God. And I hope none of you is envious of any gift God has given to your fellow brother or fellow sister. Whether it's spiritual gifts, or financial gifts, or singing gifts, or even the gift of beauty. Do you know that there are some sisters that are very beautiful? And some of them are also, upon that beauty, they are spiritual. Sister, why would you be jealous of that sister? You want to find something against her. All because she is beautiful. She didn't create herself now. She didn't make herself so. So why not give God glory for your sister who is beautiful? Amen. They begin to find fault. And then a brother is favored, maybe in finance or business or promotion and so forth. And all a brother is looking for is to find fault. That brother is pompous. He is very proud. Can't you see how he carries himself? Nalayo, na jealousy. It is not supposed to be. And if you're jealous of what God has made your brother or your sister, how do you intend to get to that level? Praise God. Some of us, we hinder ourselves so much. You don't need the kind of prayers and deliverances you come here for. All you need is change of attitude. Somebody say change of attitude. Say change of attitude. Can you turn to your neighbor and say, my sister, I love you with the love of God. My brother, I love you with the love of God. I mean it from your heart. Praise God. How can you, in the midst of brethren, people are afraid of being poisoned. Brethren, people are careful of being poisoned. This is mixed multitude. And we know that one of these days, the Lord will sift the chaff from the wheat. You know, there was a time in the first church age, a man and a woman came and told a lie to the apostles. Say, we have sold the land for so much. So the husband told the apostles. He said, okay, we have had you stay by the corner. The wife came and said, wife, your husband said that he sold so land for so much. And so the wife said, hey, yes, for so much. Meanwhile, the couples have connived at home. This land where we don't sell for 1 million naira, we're only going to present 700,000 to the apostles for the need of the church. We're going to keep 300,000. To begin with, are you under obligation to release all? The Bible says, freely you have, freely you give. People were coming to bring whatever they have freely to the apostles' feet for the common distribution. If they had come and told the apostles, we sold our land 1 million, but we left 300,000 for family needs. Please, nobody would have quarreled with them because nobody actually demanded them to sell any land. Do you understand? So people put themselves into bondages. And when they did that, Peter said, you have not told a lie to man. You have lied against the Holy Ghost. And to begin with, your husband told a lie and the Holy Ghost struck him. And the young men had buried him. The same feet of the young men are at the doors. They will now carry you and go and bury too. At that pronouncement, the woman slumped and died. Praise the Lord. One of these days, the days of Sapphira and Ananias will come back. Somebody shout hallelujah. The days when fellowship will be made of only God's children. The Bible said in that verse, it said, people became afraid to join themselves to the brethren. If you are not sure of yourself, you dare not identify with the brethren then. Now everybody comes and they have people come from prostitutes' house and come to church. People do dubious businesses. Do people do 419 and come to church? People involved in drug trafficking and so forth and come to church. People are, robbing widows and the fatherless and the orphan. And you have others and come to church. That's your neighbor's land in the village because you have more money than him. You have been crushed. And you have used your money to settle the elders. So they will not be talking from both sides of the mouth. And you are coming to church. You're a hypocrite. You are not better than the Pharisees that were asking Jesus questions. It's time for us, for such people to repent. Praise the Lord. without taking you too far, discerning the signs of the time, that we are living in a specific time frame in God's redemption time, God's redemption dispensation of 2,000 years allotted to the Gentiles. Praise God. Out of these 2,000 years we have gone so far, we don't know if it will be 2,020 years before Jesus comes, 2,040 or 50 or whatever, but we know it is within the range of 2,000 years. Because the Bible says in Hosea chapter 6 verse 2, that after 2 days, and those 2 days is talking about 2,000 years. A day with the Lord is 1,000 years. And 1,000 years is like a day unto the Lord. And because we are using the Gregorian calendar, when we are in 2014, you discover that it is not exactly prophetic calendar. Amen. In 2014, we are in prophetic calendar. We are not yet up to year 2000 in 2014. But by the Gregorian calendar, we are already far ahead. Because Gregorian calendar has 265 days in a year. But prophetic calendar has how many days? 260. Sorry, 360. That's a slip of tongue. 365 days, but prophetic is what? 360. Amen. So what are we saying? But it's within the range. Even 2014 is still within the range of the year 2000. So within this time frame allotted to the Gentiles, we have 7 distinct church ages. Old members are already aware of what we're talking about. Praise the Lord. Amen. You have the Ephesian church age as outlined in Revelation chapter 2 and chapter 3. Is that correct? You have Ephesian church age. You have Smyrna church age. You have Thyatira church age. You have Pergamian church age. You have Sardisian church age. You have Philadelphia church age. And you have Laodicea church age. Is that correct? The 7 church ages. And the Lord led the prophet to teach and preach a sermon on it, the exposition of the 7 church ages. Praise God. And we discover the 7 church age era. The first age has elapsed. The second has elapsed. The third has elapsed. The fourth has elapsed. The fifth, the sixth. And we are now in the 7th church age. Praise the Lord. And as God led the prophet, by the Holy Ghost and by study, he was able to break the dispensations into era of time. And he discovered that between AD 53 and 170 was the period that was known in church history as the Ephesian church age. Praise the Lord. And the leading apostle, the minister that God used as a standard, the star in God's hand, Revelation chapter 1, was who? Apostle Paul. Praise God. And in the second church age, which is Smyrna church age, lasted from when to when? AD 53 to 170, then AD 170 to 312. You are too forgetful. Praise God. And who was the leader of that church age? Saint Irenaeus. And the third church age was what? Some are doing expo at the back of the songbook. Praise God. The Pergamon church age is the third one. And it lasted from when? 312 to 606. And who was the leader? Huh? Saint Martin. Praise the Lord. You are following. And the next church age was what? The Thyatira church age, and the messenger was Saint Columba. And it lasted from when? 606 to when? 1520 AD. Hallelujah. Then the fifth church age was the Sardisian church age. And the seventh, the star God used at that point in time was St. Martin Luther. Is that correct? And that era lasted from 1520 to 1750. Praise the Lord. And then the sixth church age, Philadelphia church age, God used a man called John Wesley to bring back further light progressively. Because the light has already been almost shut off during the dark ages of Christianity. We know the history. We're not going into that now. Praise God. And then the man John Wesley, after him, came the last church age, which was inaugurated by study in the year. Okay, Wesley lasted from 1750 to 1906. Is that correct? Then the Laodicean church age is the seventh church age. And that is the age we are living in. And that age started from the year 1906. And it is going to persist until the rapture day. There's no other dispensation. Amen. Seven is the number, spiritual number for what? Completion. That's the end. There's no more age after the Laodicean church age. And so, looking at the topic of our discussion, discerning the signs of the time. Now, the time we are living in, the Laodicean church age, is the end of the end time. Praise God. The end time started in the first church age. The Bible says Jesus was manifested at this end time, last time for us. And this last time or the end time has lasted for almost 2,000 years. So, if 2,000 years was called an end time, then we are at the end of the end time. Praise God, somebody. And there are pointers, spiritual pointers, to help us recognize the time we are living in and to prepare adequately for the next move of God. Somebody shout hallelujah. Prophet Branham preached a sermon. He titled it, Recognizing Your Day and Its Message. Praise the Lord. Do you know why majority of the Jews could not recognize Jesus? Because they were not walking with the signs of the time they lived in. They couldn't recognize the signs. They couldn't evaluate and appreciate what was going on in the time they were living in. And that's the problem of many today. Even many Christians. Today, many Christians are only concerned about breakthrough. They are concerned about marriage. They are concerned about how to build the best house. They are concerned about how to ride the best car. They are concerned about how to wear the best dresses, designer suits. They are concerned only about material things. They have lost sight of the purpose why Jesus came. They have lost sight of the purpose why the man agonized on the cross of Calvary. They have lost the sight why he had to take all kinds of insult from mortal men. Mortal men he created. He took insults from them. They slapped him. They mocked him. They reviled him. And he didn't speak a word. Because there was a mission he came to accomplish. That mission is a spiritual purpose. It should deliver you and I from the bondage of sin and death and condemnation and hellfire. Now, how many of us can beat our chest and say, I am ready to go with the Lord if he calls me now? That's the big question. Praise the Lord. You see people flock at our Tuesday programs. They flock at night vigils. They begin to look for prophets here and there. Prophets, discern for me. Prophesy for me. What are they looking for? Just material things. There is nothing wrong about God using a prophet to discern the situations about you, and then proper solution by the grace of God. But I'm saying that should not be your primary purpose of coming to church, of seeking God, of coming to God. Amen. We understand from the scripture that miracles are children's food. If you're a child of God, God will make a way for every opposing power against you to bow. Praise the Lord. But first of all, become His child. So brethren, discerning the signs of the time, we want to read a scripture concerning the time we are living in. I may lay a foundation for this message. We'll continue later some other time, because I won't keep you beyond two. Praise the Lord. Now, there is a spirit that is controlling this end time. There is a spirit at work. There's a spirit that is influencing the actions and activities of men in every age and time. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let's open our scriptures to Revelations chapter 3. Revelation chapter 3. I want us to read from verse 14. Revelation chapter 3. Verse 14. Praise the Lord. Are we there? Now, and unto the church of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things sent the Amen, the faithful and the true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, and thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm, and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, and thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thy eyes with eyesalve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous therefore, and repent. 20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him and he with me. Verse 21. To him that overcometh, will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame, and I sat down with my Father in his throne. 22 and the final verse. He that had an ear, let him hear what the Spirit said unto the churches. Praise the Lord. If you study this book, The Exposition of the Seven Church Ages, you will discover that by study, Brother Branham out every meaning of the name of each city that those messages were addressed to. He found the meaning of Ephesus. What's the meaning of Ephesus? Ephesus means aim at and do what? And relax. That's why their rebuke was they left their first love. And on and on and on and on. Each of the names of those cities signifies something that characterized the era that those Christians lived in. And Laodicea, the meaning of Laodicea prophetically is characterizing the spirit that is in control, in vogue right now. How many knows the meaning of the word Laodicea? Laodicea means people's rights. People's what? Rights. That is why not long ago, about 1920 or so, that was when American Parliament permitted women to begin to vote. It was Bible pattern before. Women were not counted officially for such official things. It's only the men. Praise God. And in Nigeria, it was in 1976, the era of the first coming of General Obasanjo, that women began to vote in Nigeria. So it's still current. Nothing against that. But we're just trying to say there is a spirit that's motivating all this. Everybody has a right. Everybody has a right. Everybody has a right. Until today in America, the American government has taken the right of citizens to the level of absurdity. Praise God. That is why a parent doesn't have any authority, don't have the right to spank your child or to cane your child. If that child reports to the authority, they will collect that child from you. And government will take over the child. Isn't that madness? When the Bible says, do not spare the rod when you are correcting your child. He said he may cry. He said, don't mind his crying. That beating will make him good. It's in the book of Proverbs. I'll get the chapter, the verse. I don't have it now. It's scriptural. But we are not talking about parents that beat their children as if they are beating snakes. There is a tribe in Nigeria. I won't mention your tribe now, but when I say you understand who the tribe I'm talking about. When father is beating the child, and the child run and run to the mother's bosom, the mother will carry a bigger cane and drive the child back to the father. And the child, that is not proper. If the mother is beating the child, and that child escapes and finds embrace in the bosom of the father should stop. At least for that moment. Praise God. Certainly. Otherwise, you will discourage that child. Otherwise, that child will grow up and become rebellious. And you won't say you are not responsible. So there's a middle line to chastising the children. Praise God. And people's rights. And that is why today, women will tell you, whatever a man can do, they're not even saying that women can do the same. The slogan now is that women can do better. And you know they cannot do better. But it's the spirit of deceit of the Laodicea that everybody has a right, equal right. It's the spirit of deception. The right of the man and the woman are not equal. Somebody shout hallelujah.